You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to the MSP Zone. We're going to have a little retrospective for you, this program. For those of you who don't know, the MSP Alliance is celebrating its 20th year in operations this year, 2020. And actually, it kind of got me thinking around the earlier part of the year that there's actually a lot of new members in the organization that have no idea what we do. Have very little idea of what we've done, especially in the early years of the MSP Alliance in the early 2000s, in that time frame, and a lot of the substantive work that laid the groundwork to what is today the managed services, the modern managed services profession. And so I thought I'd give you a little bit of a historical overview of some of the highlights of the MSP Alliance in public policy, legislative areas, and give those of you, especially those of you who don't know or those of you who are new to the organization, a sense of what we've been up to for the last 20 years so that you can have a better appreciation of how we operate and what we do to propel the managed services profession forward. So for those of you who don't know, here is our official mandate. This is our purpose behind the MSP Alliance, and that is to further the advancement of the managed services profession, period. That's what we've done since day one. It's what we do today. Now, we have varying different ways of doing that. We have, education, we have certification, we have insurance programs, we have consulting programs. We do a lot of different things, all related to furthering the advancement of MSPs and the profession of managed services. And you may think, well, what does the profession of managed services really mean? And we've long believed, and this has been our mantra or our belief from the very early days, which is that if you want to be taken seriously by your customers, if you want to be viewed by the larger public as a credible, not just a credible company, right? If you're an MSP out there practicing, you don't practice alone. There are many, many other organizations also calling themselves MSPs who are out there. And so you are part of a collective, whether you like it or not. You are part of a professional body that is all doing something fairly similar and moving in the fairly close similar direction. Not everyone, but most of us. And so it becomes really important to espouse professional values, to tell the general public that there is a reason, there's a benefit to working with an MSP, just like you would if you were a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, an accountant, any of those professions. They have, by necessity, had to come up with answers to very common questions of, well, what happens if my medical professional does something that harms me, right? What if I have a complaint? What if how do I determine that I am getting the best medical care possible? Ask those same questions about your attorney, about your accountant, about an engineer or an architect. They all have professional industry associations like MSP Alliance, but they also have similar professional guidance. They have professional standards. They have sometimes committees, sometimes organizational structures that help the community they serve better understand and interrelate with those professionals. And that's what we've tried to build and model the MSP Alliance off of for the last 20 years. We are not a lobbying body. Those of you especially new to the MSP Alliance, we are not in any way affiliated with any political movement. Quite the opposite. In fact, we stay out of, when we can, political discussions, except when they involve managed service providers, as I'll discuss momentarily. But we are not raising money for the purpose of giving that money to a political entity, a political candidate, a political party, or a political action committee of any type. We've never done that. We never have, never will. But that's not to say that the MSP Alliance does not get involved in public policy discussions, because that we do. And we do it very effectively. I would argue we do it more effectively than lobbyists do, because we don't have that entanglement of money. So when people, agencies, and governments come to us and ask us for advice, when they ask us for input or information on the MSP community at large, we give them that information free of bias, free of, we have the bias of the MSPs, but we are free of bias from any political entanglements, because we haven't given to anybody. So no one can say, well, you're opposing that party, or you're pro that party or that movement. The only thing we are pro is managed service provider. But I was just going to, I had a quick list here of some of the things, the highlights, as I call it, of legislative and or public policy highlights that we've been involved in over the last 20 years. The first and most notable one that I can think of was back when we were in California, under Governor Schwarzenegger at the time, the legislature came out with a bill that was, I think it was called something like it was an anti-spyware bill. And basically it was at the height of the spyware movement, and there's a lot of concern about, you know, spyware being embedded into California computer systems. And so the legislature wanted to act on that, and they had a bill. And just before it was signed, we did some digging into it and realized the way they wrote that law would have required remote monitoring and management companies, RMM companies, to be listed as spyware, because those were agents being downloaded onto systems, and the way the law was written, it would have required the MSP to make a disclosure, get the express permission of the person, not the company, but the person whose laptop the agent was being deployed on. They would have to give their express permission that, yes, I acknowledge and consent that you are downloading this software agent. And it basically was unworkable. And we told the government as such, and they changed it, and it became, it got amended, and then Governor Schwarzenegger signed it into law. And so that was kind of an early example of how we identified something that would have been very detrimental, in our opinion, to the advancement of the managed services profession, in this case, the RMM community. And we acted, and thankfully we had a good outcome. Not too many years later, we began working on, and this is kind of the second major milestone as I consider it, which is we started working on the standard that would later become known as the MSP Verify. And that work that we did involved many, many different organizations. It did include a handful of vendors, but mostly it was MSPs. MSPs from Siemens, Sprint, AIMNet Solutions, they later got acquired by Cognizant. Those were on the larger side, but then we had some mid-market and smaller SMB-focused MSPs who also were part of that community of about 18 people. 18 people from 18 different organizations worked on that standard for better part of a year. And that was an early example in 2004 of the community getting together and getting behind this concept of needing a framework, both security framework, but also a operational framework for how to measure and judge and evaluate MSPs. And that early work definitely laid the foundation for a lot of the advancements and a lot of the things that we espouse as a professional community, even today. It was some years after the certification had launched that we started to pick up, and I'll have to look at the, there's actually a CRN article. It's called MSP Alliance Bobs for Bad Apples. I'll try to find that link, but you can find it out there on the web still. And it was an article on a particular MSP that had done some really bad things. And if memory serves, they had applied for the certification, for our certification, and we didn't even get past the point where they were accepted into the program because they had some other problems. Namely, they were being indicted at a federal level and they were in jail. These are the principals of the MSP organization. And they did some really bad stuff, right? And we brought that to the attention of the authorities and to the of the channel because we said, look, this is not obviously what we want to have as an MSP, right? That was an exception to the rule of, you know, vast majority of MSPs are just good. They're good people, they're good organizations, and they do good work for their customers. This entity was just bad, right? And probably just a few people in the organization were bad. But nevertheless, it caught our attention, and you know, we said something about it, and it was enough that it garnered the attention of a writer at CRN, and they wrote that article, and that was again an example of how we were trying to look out for the industry by saying, look, there you have to call out bad behavior as bad behavior, and you have to exemplify and encourage the good behavior. And you can't have one without the other. And that's very important for any profession to be credible, is that you have to be able to acknowledge, yeah, when you have a bad apple, you call them out, you get rid of it, and you have a mechanism for getting rid of it. And in that scenario, we actually had a mechanism for identifying what is a good MSP and what is not, and they did not measure up, right? Thankfully, they never got even as far as the application process to become certified. And I think that that's a definitely merits being in that highlight reel of MSP Alliance accomplishments. Still, a few years after that, we started to actively become part of, through solicitation, different governments began to call on the MSP Alliance to ask us for opinions and for guidance on how to do a variety of different things related to managed service providers. And I'll give you two examples. The first one was in the United States banking sector, and the second one is with Europe and what would later become GDPR. So we actually got invited to Washington to speak and talk to a bunch of the FFIEC examiners, specifically the ones who dealt with banks, IT audits for banks. And this group was very interested in the rising number of MSPs handling U.S. bank infrastructure on an outsourced basis. And so they asked us, well, we don't really know much about these things called MSPs. Could you give us a lesson, right? Who are they? What do they do? What level of access do they have to bank data? You know, all the typical questions you might expect. And so we gave them a briefing, and we kind of gave them our certification standard, and they looked at it and used that as a model of how to look at MSPs. It's not the only model, but it was certainly is one of several models that they have at their ready to evaluate an MSP working within the U.S. banking community. And that led to a few relationships all related to banking and accounting and the credentialing of MSPs or the certification of MSPs. And all of these things have a common theme, especially in later years, which is about 2009 and onward, we started to really see an increase in governmental bodies having a desire to understand MSPs, number one, and number two, understand how to pick or evaluate and assess what is a good MSP and what is not a good MSP. And that is a recurring theme that I've seen over the last 10, 12 years now, where it doesn't matter where you are. It's just a common theme, and we see it, and this is the question we get asked over and over and over again. So if you want to know what our day is, what my day looks like a lot, it is dealing with those types of larger public policy questions from different groups all over the world who are saying, we're starting to see more MSPs. What can you tell us about them, and how do we tell who's a good one and who's a bad one? And that kind of leads us to Europe. In 2012, I believe, we were invited by the European Union to go to, I believe, Amsterdam. And it was a small work group of about 30 individuals in the room representing some big cloud vendors from the United States, a lot of European regulators. And MSP Alliance was privileged to have two people, myself included, and one of our board members from Europe, who participated in a work group that was, although we didn't know it at the time, it was the predecessor to what would become GDPR. And so we were very fortunate to have the MSP Verify standard at the time very prominently discussed at the European level, because they wanted to know, it wasn't exclusively about MSPs, it was about cloud security, cloud regulation, and how cloud providers are impacting or were impacting the data privacy and data security of European citizens. Part of that discussion involved, obviously, MSPs and what the role MSPs have in helping to safeguard that that data privacy. And so our standard was very much prominently displayed amongst many of the European community. And, you know, I'd like to say that while we didn't have a hand in writing what became GDPR, because there's a lot of stuff, as I've said publicly, that I don't necessarily agree with in the GDPR legislation, it was enough to have MSP Alliance and its standard represented there so that they could take a lot of how we work in the community and make adjustments to their legislation that didn't overly penalize MSPs. And it seems appropriate at this point to raise an issue which some people have expressed related to the policy of the MSP Alliance or the stance of MSP Alliance related to regulation. And the question can be asked in this way. Is the MSP Alliance against regulation of MSPs? The answer is no. Does the MSP Alliance advocate for the licensure of MSPs? The answer is no. We don't think that licensing MSPs is good. Do we think that governments can and should and have the right to regulate MSPs? I think undeniably yes. How they do it, we'd like to have a voice in how they do that, obviously. There are some issues, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, about the recently passed Louisiana MSP registration law. While we may be in favor of registration, there are some things that are, shall we say, side effects to that registration process that we feel merit further discussion because of very significant security concerns, in our opinion, should certain data get out and escape. But the answer is no. We actually believe that there's a public policy argument for the regulation of MSPs. I don't think that it should be licensure. I don't think licensing MSPs is going to have any damn good. It's not going to advance the quality of MSP care that clients get. It's going to increase the cost. It's going to decrease the number of MSPs out there doing the work. And we need the opposite. We need more qualified MSPs, not less. But we certainly need greater transparency. We need greater accountability. And we need the ability to tell the public that there is a mechanism and a way for them to understand and evaluate MSPs that is very easy to understand and to use. And typically licensure just doesn't accomplish any of those goals in any way. And that's a separate conversation. But, you know, that's a quick highlight tour of what we have been doing to really guide and propel the MSP profession forward. And we believe that the next 10, 20 years is going to be a period of incredible growth for the MSP community worldwide. Some sectors will see greater growth than others, but across the board, in general, MSPs should be doing really well for the next 10 or 20 years because the amount of help that everyday organizations, especially the smaller ones, need to help protect them against cyber attacks, protect their data and their data privacy, is overwhelming. And there's no way that they can go it alone. They need help. The only way they can get that help is by outsourcing to a professional grade MSP. And if you agree with all those things, that's a pretty good outlook for the MSP professional community. Like I said, for probably at least 10 years, I think 20 years is more realistic. Anyway, I hope that was helpful. We've been doing a lot. We will continue to fight for the cause of managed services, for professional managed services. If you have any comments or thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. And if you want to join the program and share those thoughts publicly, we'd especially love to hear from you. Until next time, stay safe. And this has been Charles Weaver for the MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.